Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. We're going to get started with Karen Clark Shield.
Give you favor, you will never want for anything. Favor, I give you favor, you will never want for anything. This is the hour, this is the hour I'm pouring out all my this thing along, but when you think about favor, oh my God, you see, I just want to say it one more time. You gotta understand that and realize that you gotta be purified for God's favor. You may have a temporary setback, but it's only a permanent setup for God's favor to reign in your life. Somebody needs to know that tonight. But when you get down on your knees and pray, and you're asking for God's favor, this is all God is saying. He's just saying this. Receive it, receive it, receive it, receive it. I'll give it, I'll give it, I'll give it, I'll give it, I'll give it. If you allow me, if you allow me, if you allow me, if you allow me. I want to rain, I want to rain, I want to rain, I want to rain. Down on your soul, down on your soul, down on your soul. I want to prove, I want to prove, I want to prove. That I can take with the devil try to mean for evil, and I will turn it around. But y'all good. I wanna rain. I wanna shine. Fall on me. Oh, let the favor of God flood my soul. Rain on me. That's what I want God to do.
Shine on me.
Anybody know what I'm talking about? You feel me up here. I want you to fall down on me, God.
Let the favor of heaven flood my soul. Oh, rain on me.
Rain down on me.
Shine on me.
I'm trying not to get out of the way here.
Fall on me.
Fall down.
Yeah.
Wow, can you hear me? I'm going to play Steve Harvey. My phone went out, and I think y'all couldn't hear me. But I think we're back on now. Good morning, family. Welcome to another episode of, I was going to say the Steve Harvey Show, y'all. Oh, that's funny. No, but I was thinking about Steve Harvey this morning. And it's funny how everything just kind of comes together for you when you start thinking about how big God is, you know. Just the favor of God is over our life, you know. And I was thinking about Steve when he was talking about, we got to think bigger. And when we up our ask, God will up his gift. It's interesting. I woke up this morning and God had just put it in my heart. And I didn't know why I should just pray. So I just started praying for her. She inboxed me that her son was in the hospital from asthma, from the mold in the building she lived in, and she needed another two-bedroom place. Could I help her find another two-bedroom space? And she was really, you know, down. And so I just encouraged her. And then she just called crying. And all I could think was, wow, God, thank you for using me this morning. You know, God's obedient, being obedient to the word of God is so important. I don't know what's going on with this computer this morning. Well, you know, I'm not on my computer, y'all. I got my phone. And I guess the electronics want to do what they want to do. We want to play 21 questions. So but my point is that it's just important that we allow God to use us today. Sometimes we don't know why God is asking us to do what we're being called to do. But I want to tell you sometimes, the mercy of God and the favor of God is just so amazing. And so as we move through this day today, what is it that's been on our heart? That's been on our heart. It's not going to come to pass. Well, I come to tell you today, we got to take the limits off of God. Take the limits off our ask. Take and pray those bold prayers. And so I was thinking about Steve Harvey when he just became one of the most just powerful speakers in my own thing. When I think about how he said that we have to learn how to up our ask. So here, I want you to listen.
If you could get a couple of things from me, if you could gather this piece of information. Albert Einstein said once, he said, imagination is everything. It's the preview to life's coming attractions. Now, I want you to get this now. Imagination is everything. It's the preview to life's coming attractions. Because if you think about it, everything you have, everything we have in this world, somebody imagined it. It's your imagination is tremendous. Somebody was sitting on the phone one day talking with a cord to the wall and said, man, I wish I could just go outside with this phone. Everybody in here got a cell phone. Somebody imagined that. Somebody got tired of riding in a wagon cross country from slavery to freedom. Somebody said, I wish we had something that made these wheels move by themselves. We drive cars. People got tired of driving from New York to LA. Somebody said, I wish we could fly. We got airplanes. Imagination is everything. It's the preview to life's coming attractions. Your real life, the one God really got for you, is in your imagination. It is not in your current situation or your current paycheck. And if you've been living like that, you have then restricted yourself to a commonality that is really not yours. Because what really God got for you is really in your imagination. There is a scripture that Albert Einstein took this quote from. It's like the book The Secret. The Secret is one of the top-selling motivational books ever. But if you read the book The Secret, it's all biblical. Everything comes from the Bible. You really don't need self-help books. You don't need The Magic of Thinking Big, The Power of Positive Thinking, How to Win Friends and Influence People, Think and Grow Rich, The Winner's Circle. I've read them all. All of that information is in Proverbs, all of it. But let me give you this scripture. You've all heard this, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So when I told you a minute ago, you got to have a tremendous work ethic, but you got to have a lot of faith. I talk to so many people who get older, like some of us are, and they've lost the faith. Well, faith is really simple. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. All that means is in the beginning, you just hope something pop off. You know, you just kind of hope something happened for you. I was hoping I would get on TV. I wrote it on a piece of paper when I was 10. I want to be on TV. The problem I had when I wrote it at 10 was I suffered from a severe stuttering problem. I could not talk outside of my house. So can you imagine when I wrote on a piece of paper, I want to be on TV and turned that in? But when I wrote it on the paper, it wasn't factual. I was just hoping. You just got to start with the hope. Faith is the substance of things that you hope for. You just hope something, Joe. Then what happened is through grace and favor, he give you a couple of them things you hope for, and then you're supposed to start believing then. Because now it turns into faith. But if you take this scripture, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What is the evidence of things not seen? I just told it to you. Albert Einstein said, imagination is everything. It's the preview to life's coming attraction. But guess what? Your imagination really is. It's the evidence of things not seen. Because your imagination, you know why it's the evidence of things not seen? Because you're the only one can see it. Your imagination is actually God showing you a preview of a coming attraction that he has for you. The moment you don't believe in your imagination, you negate what he got for you. Your imagination is the preview to life's coming attraction. It is the evidence of things not seen, because can't nobody see it with you. Your problem is you keep telling your imagination to the wrong people. See, if you want to kill a big dream, tell it to a small-minded person. It's dead. How many times, man, have you had a tremendous idea, something you thought was the one, and you went and told it to your loved ones and your so-called friends? And they shot it down. I mean, you was convinced that it was just, oh man, I just came to you. And you told it to them and they shot it down. And you thought since they was your loved ones and their friends and they got your best interest at heart, you believed them. You was wrong. You let them talk you out of what God got for you. Some of y'all still sitting here with the ambition of opening a business one day, but you scared to go start the business because you got a job and you got bills. Rich people got bills. Everybody got bills. Hell, I got bills. Everybody owes somebody something. I got something with the bank right now. You're going to let the fact that you got some bills stop you from opening the business, the thing that God done put in your imagination? So you're going to squash that because you got bills. Everybody got bills. Your real life is in your imagination. What I'm sharing with you is stuff that everybody can apply today. If you are sitting in here thinking that you're too old to listen to what Steve, hell, I'm 60. I'm 60 years old. I know. You can't believe it. I know. He's so fly. I know. But I'm 60. But I still rely on my imagination. See, if you think you're too old to make it, let me give you a prime example. Colonel Sanders. Colonel Sanders has been frying chicken his whole life. He was telling everybody he had the best chicken in the world. Ain't nobody believe him. They turned him down everywhere. Colonel Sanders didn't get a franchise till he was in his 60s. Kentucky Fried Chicken sell more chicken than anybody in the world today. So if you're sitting there thinking because you got a little gray on you, you're too late. As long as God waking you up in the morning, that's the sign that he ain't through with you. So what you tripping for? You sitting up in here like God can't do nothing for you because you 60. Man, you know what I'm asking God for right now? And I'm 60. If you could see my vision board, you would be blown away. Because I got enough right now. I really know, but I ain't in the need business. I'm in the want business. Ain't nothing wrong with wanting something. Quit going down to these churches y'all sitting up in here going down to, keeping you in these little boxes. God got a big life for you. The only person ain't get, look, and I love church. Don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking church. Don't tweet that. Steve don't care for the church no more. I didn't say that. But don't go down there. Memorize all these scriptures and then don't apply none of them to your life. That's what I'm talking about. Quit going down there just to go and just get a couple of scriptures and apply them to you. Let me give you one that's real simple. See, these principles of success, they've taken all of these scriptures and they're putting them in books and they call them, you know, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, The Magic of Thinking Big by David Schwartz. But all these, everything in there is a scripture. They just reworded it because people don't know how to read the Bible. Like, I can't really read the King James Version. I can't. 4 verses of that, I go to sleep. Because hence, furthermore, whatsoever, whosoever, who is you talking about? I need a name, dog. Not whomsoever. Because I'm throwed off. I didn't do good with reading and comprehension in school. The smallest scripture I ever read changed my life. The scripture is real simple. You have not because you ask not. Do you know the difference that could make in your life? I'm just giving you real talk now. I'm just trying to tell you how I got here. See, I have no education. I applaud all of you with your education. I've seen them talking to so many men who have corporate America and all that. I'm in awe of that because I don't have that. But you sit here and you take what you have and it could be so much more if you would ask. See, you have not because you ask not. When the last time you really asked him for something? Or do you keep making requests that's inside the confines of your paycheck? When you gonna get outside of that? Didn't I just tell you God ain't in your paycheck? Didn't I just tell you he ain't in your job title? The life God got for you is in your imagination. Why you still imagining stuff? Why you keep dreaming of a summer home? Why you keep dreaming of retirement, leaving your grandkids money? Something at the age now where I think about my grandkids. I got 7 TV shows. Dog, I only need one. One show pay me enough money. I need 4 for my wife. 4 of them is for Marjorie. The other 3 is for the grandkids. I just need one. I do not live my life in the confines of what anybody says to me. I let my imagination go, and now imagination is a preview to life's coming attraction. But what that really means is God showing you a preview of what he has for you. So now, if you have not because you ask not, do you understand if you up your ask, he has to up his give? This period. This is simple stuff that anybody can apply. You ain't even got to have no degree to do this. You don't even have to have no money to do this. You can start this today and change your whole game. Because you're going to need grace and favor anyway. You need the dream, the faith, and then he put his grace and favor on top of it. You gone. But you got to ask for something. If you up your ask, he got to up his give. Period. You have not because you ask not. Quit asking God for little bitty stuff. Lord Jesus, help me make my rent. Don't he always? All y'all got somewhere to stay. How about this? Why you keep asking for rent? Why don't you ask for a mortgage? If he gonna give you the money for a place to stay, what difference do it make to God? But if you keep saying rent, ain't he fair? He keep giving you rent. If you ask for a mortgage, he'll give you a mortgage. But you have not because you ask not. Lord Jesus, help me fix my car so I can make it to work. Why do you keep praying over that raggedy car?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you ask God for a car that don't need fixing? You know, they roll them off the assembly line every day. How you can't get a new car? How you serve God? How you go to church and you can't get a car? Just a new car. How you can't get that from God? You know why? Because you ain't asking. You keep asking him for stuff that fit in your paycheck. Your paycheck say a 2015 Lexus. So you go down there and ask him for that. And guess what you get? A 2015 Lexus. You up your ask, he up his give. You have not because you ask not. This ain't a magic trick, man. Listen, I have asked God for some tremendous stuff. Everything he hasn't given to me is on the way. I have no doubt about it. Why would he not? See, can I tell you what really prompted this thinking in me? When I was homeless, I lived in a car for 3 years. I made some decisions in my life, man, and threw myself off a cliff. My decision in October 8, 1985, I walked into a comedy club for the first time on a dare from a girl. Jesus. I walked into a comedy club for the first time. Had never heard of a comedy club. But all my life, I wanted to be on TV. Had never heard of a comedy club. October the 8th, I walked into Hilarity's Comedy Club in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. That's right outside Akron. I signed up for the following week because I just wanted to see what the comedians did. Man, I saw live stand-up for the first time. They had 10 acts supposed to go up. 9 of them went up. The 10th guy got scared and ran out the door. So I had signed up for the following week. The guy says, listen, we lost our 10th act. We're going to go to the phones. We're going to go to the week from next week. If Steve Harvey's here, come on up now. And the crowd started clapping. I was eating a chicken wing and drinking some grapefruit juice. And I turned to the girl and I said, it's a dude in here got the same name I got. She said, you're the stupidest bastard I know. So I ran up on stage. I don't even know what to do, but I just started talking about boxing and stuff that happened to me. Audience was hollering, laughing. They brought all 10 of us back up on stage. They had a clap-off. I won the clap-off. I won $50. I cried from Cuyahoga Falls to Cleveland. The girl kept saying, why are you crying? It ain't but $50. I said, no, you don't understand. This is way more than 50. This what I do. She said, what you mean this what you do? This just your first time. You don't understand. Something happened to me. I won amateur night. I went to work the next day, October 9th, 1985, and quit my job. Now, you've all seen this book I got out in this video called Jump. Oh, I jumped. Now, I don't recommend that you do it that way, because 2 years later I was homeless. Because the first year of comedy I made $3,400, the next year I made $4,800, and the third year I made $5,300. I got a wife, a set of twins. I'm sending every dollar I got to them. So I tried to live on $50-$75 a week. Gas was 38 cents a gallon back then. I just stayed in my car. So I lived in my car for 3 years. 3 years I lived in my car. And what happened was, I just said, man, so I used to fish all the time to eat, because I'm a fisherman, I'm a bass fisherman. So I used to stop at lakes and ponds and just fish. And every month I get run off from somebody's land. Hey, get away from here. Hey, move along, that's not yours. Hey, stop fishing here. I just get run off. And he didn't understand. And one time I had fish on the line. They said, you got fish on that line? I said, yeah. Throw them back. I had to throw them back, because I used to stop at rest areas with them little cast iron grills. I kept charcoal in my car. I started a fire and I ate fish. There's some days I wouldn't eat. So that they thought I was just fishing, but I was eating. So I said one day, I said, man, you know what? One day, man, I'm gonna get myself some land. I'm buy myself a piece of dirt. So fast forward, God bless me. I get on TV when I'm 38. I'm on Showtime at the Apollo. Lord, have mercy. They gave me my money. I saved my money up. I saved $250,000. I said, I'm going to give me some land. I went to Texas, and I'm about to buy some land. But before I went to buy the land, I was curious. I just had the thought. I said, man, I wonder how much land is on earth? How many acres is on earth? Because, you know, it's not going to change. You know, God lets you fly. God lets you dive underwater. God don't let you make dirt. Can't make dirt. So I looked it up. It's roughly over, just a little bit over, 36 billion acres of land. 36 billion acres of land. So I just got a little bit more curious. And I said, well, how many people on earth? I looked it up, and there's about 6 billion people on earth. So I did some Steve Harvey thinking. I said, okay, if it's 36 billion acres of land, and it's about 6 billion people on earth, everybody ought to have 6 acres of land. Not just me, you know, just thinking. So I asked God, could I have 6 acres? That's all I wanted. Because you know the one thing I wanted? I didn't care if I put a house on it or nothing. I just wanted to be a stand somewhere and couldn't nobody run me off. I just wanted. You know, man. I was in a world of hurt. I was so sick of just getting run off, man, every time I stopped somewhere. So I got this money, man. I saved my money. I saved $250,000. I'm going and I'm looking for some land. The first day I get there, I see a piece of land in Texas, so beautiful, I couldn't believe it. It had rolling hills, had a pond on it where I could fish. The dude took me over there. I look at the land. And I'm looking at it, I said, man, this is great right here. I said, sir, how much is this right here? He said, well, it's about $600,000. I said, man, I ain't got that kind of money. He said, well, how much do you have? I said, I got $250,000. I said, well, let me think about it, man. He said, let me think about it. And I was standing there, and then I stopped. I said, sir, can I ask you a question, man? How many acres of land is that? He said, this is 6 acres. Six. 6 years ago, I just asked God, just give me 6. See, I didn't want a whole lot of acres. I just wanted my cut. Just give me my 6. And so I said, ain't this crazy? So I thought about it. I said, man, what can we work out? Right before I got ready to say it, the guy that took me over there said, Steve, let me show you something right quick. He took me over to this hillbilly's house. Took me over to this hillbilly house named Jerry Campbell. Now, I don't really care for hillbillies because, you know, we don't. I just, you know, when your voice, you know, I believe and I don't let. When I hear that, me and you probably ain't going to work out. I'm from Cleveland. I do things. I don't want no trouble. I met this hillbilly. I was a little nervous about meeting him, man, because I didn't like the way he talked. But mess around turned out to be one of the finest men I ever met in my life. Became a father figure to me. It's an old white man. He took me to his house. He said, let me show you something. It took me over and showed me this land, and it was massive. It had three lakes on it. It had rolling hills. It had trees. It was unbelievable, man. I said, man, this is incredible. I said, man, how much is this? He said, this 16 acres. I said, hey, man, I ain't got that kind of money. Let me go on back over here to this dude where Mike can cut a deal. He said, well, let me ask you something. What was you going to give that man over there? I said, well, I hadn't worked it out yet because all I got is $250,000. He said, well, listen, I'm in a little bit of a tight right now. Said, if you can bring me $250,000 cash by tomorrow, I give you this 16 acres. I showed up next day, $250,000, 16 acres. See, that's grace and favor right there. That's what that is. So my first piece of land was 250 acres. So I said, man, this is the land that I'm going to save for my family. I'm going to fish on the rest of my life. I'm going to be an old man. Now, let me tell you something. I'm so busy now, I don't even get to go to that ranch. I never can go. And I thought I was going to be fishing and save it for my kids the rest of the life. But God had another plan for me. That's the ranch that I have my mentoring camp on. I bring 1,000 black boys out there with 1,000 single mothers. And that was the purpose of that ranch. I never go there to fish at all. But see, that's what I wanted. I thought that's what it was for. But God got another plan. His way is way bigger than yours. You can't even see his way. But you got to start to hustle. You got to give God something to work with. Look, if you start hustling and grinding, he'll fill it up for you. But if you ain't got no hustle and no grind, he can't fill it up. So guess what? I don't ever go there to use that land for fishing or not. But I'm changing boys' lives over there. It's been important for me to empower my children, but not only my children, but thousands of young people across the country. And education is the key for a lot of people. But when I speak at colleges and stuff, I tell people, number one thing in your world is not your education. It's your dream. So what you dreaming about, y'all? What you still dreaming about? What is God still showing you in your imagination? What are you so afraid of? Why would you not take that leap and go for it before you mess around and die? Why would you not go and see what God really got for you before you leave this world? Why would you hang on to a job? Here's what happens with the job. If you live in paycheck to paycheck right now, when you retire, they're going to give you one-third of what you can't live on now. They're going to give you a gold watch and a turkey, and they're going to set you on out to pasture. If I was you, before I leave this world, I'd go see what God really got for me. Just take a chance. Now, here's why you should take the chance. Name me one time God has not pulled you through. Just name it. Name the one thing God has never pulled you through. If he ain't pulled you through it, he's currently pulling you through it right now. And the reason I know I'm telling the truth is because you're sitting in here. If God was through with you, he wouldn't wake you up no more. When he wakes you up, it's because he ain't through with you yet. He got something else for you. So why don't you go see what that is?
Wow. I love, 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 love. Love that. I think about it all the time because I think about what is the preview of the coming attraction. When I was on my 10-day silent retreat and the things that I saw, all I could do was just go, thank you, God. I haven't even really shared it because it was might be so unbelievable to people that they'd be like, yeah, right, Janine. All I say is, thank you, God. I don't know how. I don't know when, but I thank you, God. I don't know how, but I don't know when, but I know that God will never leave nor forsake me. How big is your God-sized dream? How big is your God-sized dream? We'll never know if we don't go for the dream. If we don't go for the dream, we got to take our dreams out the attic. We got to dust our dreams off. I think about Zakiya and her dream to be married to the man of her dream. And she never let that go. Even when the breakup happened, she never let the idea of being married to the man of her dream. And I smile sometimes on my way to sleep and say, go, Zakiya. Keep going for your dream. What is it that you're dreaming today that you left in the attic? I'm not saying go quit your job today. I'm saying invest in your dreams today. If you are in a job and you have a dream, invest in your dreams today. What could we be doing today? One more thing that we could do today to take us closer to our dreams. That's what I wanted us to think about over this weekend. Who do we have to become in order to be physically manifested in the dream that God has put in the imagination? I love that. Imagination is everything. It's the preview of the coming attractions of your life. Albert Einstein was, to me, the baddest man who lived on the planet. I don't care what nobody say. I learned so much from Albert Einstein. Sometimes I wish I could have had the opportunity. When they say, if you had anybody that you could sit and have a conversation with, it would have been Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein had to be the Jesus of his time. How Albert Einstein took the invisible and understood how to manifest it into the physical planet. Albert Einstein understood the spiritual universe in a way that I've never heard now one person understand it. Sometimes I go to sleep and I just imagine myself talking to Albert Einstein. And I imagine how he harnessed the energy of the universe to understand it so much. And the one thing that came to my mind, you know, I imagined myself talking to him. I said, how did you get there? You know what came to my mind? Now, he may have said it to me. I might have projected myself back in time. Who knows? He said, I became one with the universe. When I asked Albert Einstein, how did he learn how to harness the energy of the universe the way he did? He said, I became one with the universe. I thought about George Washington Carver. When they asked him, how in the world did you come up with 360 ideas to do for one plant? And he said, when you love something enough, it will reveal its secrets to you. And I thought about Albert Einstein. I said, oh, he must have loved the universe so much. He must have loved the presence of this universe so much that it revealed its secrets to him. And so I started to think, between George Washington Carver and Albert Einstein, what if I learned to love Jeanine and Ingram so much that I would begin to reveal the secret of my soul and why I came to the planet? And I tell you, I know y'all think this girl crazy. I know it. Sometimes I say to myself, if people just understood sometimes what would be going on in my mind, they'd probably be like, who is this girl? But think about it. If you really understood Albert Einstein and all the scientific laws that he was able to come up with to help us understand gravity and relativity and, oh, my God. Think about George Washington Carver and the plants and the relationship he had to the plants and how he was able to harvest penicillin and many other things that he harvested. I thought to myself, if love is what helped him reveal the secrets of the plant, then love must have helped Albert Einstein harness the secrets of the universe, then love can help me harvest the secrets of why Jeanine Ingram came to the planet. So many days, I sit under the trees, and I sit by the water, and I ask God to reveal to me the secret. And I really don't think there's no secrets. I think we use this word, and when I use it, I use it loosely. I just call it a secret, but it's only information that was already available to us. And it's really not a secret. It's just us opening or removing the veil that's been placed above our eyes that we can't really see it, or upon our mind that we can't really understanding, but it's really there for us to hear, see, know, experience. And it's never been a secret, because everything in the universe is available to each and every one of us. There's nothing in this universe that we can't know or experience. And Albert Einstein said there's really no geniuses. He said the genius is just becoming one with the universe. Now, he didn't say it just like that, but that's basically what he meant. We all have the ability to be what they call geniuses. We all have the ability to experience miracles in our life. We all have the power. So what does it take? Now, this is the question. What does it take to harness or being the ability to harness that kind of energy? That's the question when you say, when my nephew, I never forget my nephew, say, Auntie, she said, I know you're the only one who's going to understand this. And I knew he had a brilliant mind too when he said, how can I be down like Jesus? I knew what he meant. That was his way of saying, how can I turn water into wine? Because sometimes I saw him looking at the water trying to figure out how to turn it into wine. 11 years old. He said, how can I be down like Jesus? How can I take this fish feed the masses? That can you imagine at 12 years old, this is what his imagination is working on? How can he be down like Jesus? I can only imagine what his life is going to be like when he becomes an adult and really takes control and takes the realm of the direction his life's going to lead. Because the questions that he has in his mind already is, how can he live past the limits of what most people live? How can I live past the thoughts that most people don't think about? Even though we in the word that most people read, it says that Jesus said to the people, these things I do. You can do greater. We can do the same and greater. So my nephew said, how can he be down like Jesus? He was saying, how can I be like Jesus? How can I do what Jesus did and even greater at 11 years old? I've never been to a church that preached on how you can do it. Now, if you have, let me know. I want to go to that church. I've never heard anybody even spend a lot of time even on that one scripture. I hear people say it, but I don't hear anybody say this is the steps that it's going to take to be able to live at the consciousness of Christ and be able to do what Christ did at the even at the level of Christ or even beyond. The Bible doesn't even show us what Jesus did from the time he was 12 to the time he started his first miracle. So we don't even get to see in the Bible this, those experiences that Jesus led up. Was it meditation? You know, they say he went to the school of Melchizedek, which is the wisdom school. But what did they teach him in that wisdom school to be able to perform those miracles? And that was an interesting conversation with my 11-year-old nephew. I said, oh, he got a mind like me. He just all became my all-time favorite. So I gave him a book called Einstein's Dream to see how he was going to read it. And he devoured the book, and we started talking about it. I'm like, wow. He said, so in order for me to be down like Jesus, I first got to see it in my mind's eye. I got to see it in my imagination. All right, man. Go on, little Blade. Go on. And so then I realized one thing. We got to stop putting the limits on our imagination. And stop putting the limits on our children's imagination. So today, I want you to dream your God-sized dream. The limits off your thoughts. And let your mind take you to the places that you never thought imaginable. Write in your journal. Your dream, and take the dreams out the attic and bring them back. So many people are dreamless right now. I was talking to a lady the other day before we got on the plane, and she was just saying, she was tired and she went through her whole process. And I said, well, what are your dreams? What do you want? She said she really didn't have no dream. No dream. No dream. How many of you are dreamless out there right now? How many of us are just robots living our lives day by day, doing the same thing in, the same thing out, get up, go to work, do the same thing, and not taking time to dream our God-sized dream or any size dream? I love what Steve Harvey says, you know, you got to give God something to work with. And our faith with God's grace and mercy. And think about that. Our faith with God's grace and mercy is going to take us to a place we never dreamed possible. That's my story today. I just wanted to share that with you to remind you. It's never too late. You never get too old. And I love Colonel Sanders stories because he got 1,067 no's before he got that one yes. We're only one yes away. One yes. 1,067 no's. And his dream still lives on. Even his body is not on the planet, but his dream all over the world. Kentucky Fried Chicken. Dream, family, dream. Any questions, comments, concerns, press 1 on Blog Talk Radio. Come in on Star 6. All right, as I remind you today that your life is a gift from God and what you do with your life is a gift back to God, remember to choose love. Love is the only choice. And remember, family, don't just dream. Don't just dream those God-sized dreams, but live them. Let's live our dreams, family. Here's Jill Scott. I love this song. By Jill Scott. And I don't even know what album it's on or if it's just on one of those soundtracks. Dreaming. But I do know this. You have the power.
And so, as I get ready to wrap this up,
hello, Reverend Ike, y'all. He didn't try to come in on here this morning. He said, what about me, right? Reverend Ike said, what about me? What about me, huh? Just like. Right here. Come on, Sean, come in. I'm sorry, y'all. Y'all know, you see I'm on this phone. I'm not at home in so I don't have my computer, so, you know, I am using this phone, and I tell you, it's not easy because it don't work like the computer works, y'all. So let me get you in. I see you come, so let me get you in. Let me get back to the studio. And it's taking this little time. Okay, here it is. All right, 917. Oops, no, that was Carla I opened up. 917.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you? Hey,
yeah,
Anna. How are you?
I have a question. I have a question. You know, I've been on this path for a long time, and I just don't feel like I am getting anywhere right now. I'm working at this job that I don't like anymore. I've exhausted it, you know, I've done everything I could, like 100%, but I'm done there. And I go on job interviews, I almost get the job, they love what I do, and then I don't get the job, and I'm back where I started. And I'm like, I definitely want to leave this job soon, but I don't think it's good to leave the job without having another job. You know, I don't want to be home, and then that's another problem. So I'm just wondering, like, yeah, I'm visualizing, I'm doing all the work, I'm working on my resume, I'm working on extra education, I'm doing all my best. I started some kind of a private, you know, a private practice, and but I just don't understand, like, what's going on. Why can't I create my happiness? You know, what's wrong? And it's like every time I kind of find pieces of my happiness, it's just like it just doesn't really work, or it doesn't continue. and I'm just like, you know, just give up, you know. Should I just let go of this job? I have no idea. Like, so I'm calling you because I know that you've been on this path and you've been quite successful at manifesting. I mean, I've been good at manifesting too. I've manifested really difficult things, but this shouldn't be taking too long. And I really thought I was going to get this other job. Like, it was so close, and then they just decided not to go with me. I don't know what to do anymore at this point. So I'm calling you to find out if you have any comments, suggestions, or anything, you know, what you're thinking about this whole thing. I even paid someone so much, like $150, to clear up any whatever is in my way. And I'm like, I should have never paid this person. You know, could have just done my own healing, and it would have been just as effective. So that I'm not going to do again, you know.
Okay, so the first thing that I heard you say is I'm looking for my happiness, and everything that you sound like you're looking for happiness outside yourself. Let me tell you, happiness don't come from outside. Happiness comes from the inside. So whatever's keeping you from your happiness is not because you don't have the job you want or whatever it is, because no matter where we are, happiness go if we're happy. Happiness comes from the inside. So whatever's keeping you from your happiness is first you need to seek what is it that you are thinking or feeling or whatever's keeping you from your happiness first is something that you're feeling, thinking, or having going on the inside of you. And one of the things that I tell people, the first thing, when we can find our own happiness, it's so much easier to manifest things on the outside. Another job is not going to make you happy, Anna. I'm going to tell you right now. You can go to that other job. You might be happy for a little while, and guess what? You're going to find yourself back in the same situation because you're taking the same mindset that created whatever situation you're in right now. Now, whether you want to believe it, you're a great manifester because you created what you're in right now. We all are great manifestors because we create what our lives as we are right now. Now, what is the mindset that got you in this situation right now is the thought process. What's keeping you from truly being unhappy? What is it that you're praying for that you think you don't have? And really, life is answering, the universe is answering your prayer. What is it that you really pray for? If you didn't have to concern yourself with money, what is it that Anna really wants? What do you really want in your life, Anna? I'm asking you that, yes. What life do you really want?
I want to have a marriage.
So what's really probably got you unhappy or feeling like you is whatever you feeling about your past relationships. That's got you into a place where you're feeling like I'm not good enough, I'm not this, and I'm not that. What do you feel about Anna Anna feels not good enough? So guess what, Anna? Everything that you experience is going to experience that you're not good enough. Because how we do anything is how we do everything. And so when you can forgive your past relationship and stop taking that past relationship personal, if that man walked out the door, left you or whatever, and you start to feel, I didn't hear you.
Right.
If he left you and you feel a certain way about why he left you, I don't know if he left you because you know I don't know you, but I'm just making up something right now. If that relationship he walked out to and you start to feel like you wasn't good enough or you not this or because the relationship wasn't going away and you start to internalize the landscape conversation. That's the place where you need to heal in order to change what's going on in the rest of your life, your money, everything that you're feeling right now, the lack of, because you feel a lack of love. But you don't need a relationship to feel love. And once you become the love, you will attract the love that you want in your life. But you got to first let go of what you're holding on to in the internal conversation that you're having inside your own mind. And it's going to start with, what did you think when... So let's talk about this if you want to, and then we can kind of feel what your conversation is inside. What did you feel with whatever happened in your last relationship?
I felt that he, first of all, I didn't feel like I wanted to be with him 100%, but then on some days I did want to be with him. I just didn't feel like he really wanted me, basically. I didn't feel like he was really going for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I would second that. Second plan. With him. Like, I wasn't, yeah, like 100%.
So listen to what you're saying to yourself right now. Now, what did the, when you say he didn't really want me, I felt like I was just second to him or whatever. All those conversations mean I'm not good enough. And all the internal conversations that you was having about yourself. So whatever you're saying about yourself is the invitation that you're sending out into the universe and everything. So you went to the job and you probably left there thinking, oh, they probably not going to pick me because I'm not good enough. In some kind of way you said that. And so what happened was they gave you exactly what the energy you was putting out. It's your energy. And you got to work on the internal landscape of what's going on inside you. And it may even started when you were a little girl, that you may need to heal that little girl inside of you, that little honor that someday when she was a little girl, something happened that told her she wasn't good enough. That said to her that she wasn't this. But I come to tell you this morning, Anna, that little girl inside of you is more than good enough. That person inside of you that's dreaming those dreams and wishing and hoping deserves all the goodness in life, and all you have to do is believe it and know it. And you have to let go of that internal conversation of not being good enough. You got to let go of that landscape conversation that says to you that you can't have what you want. So you got to let go of what's been happening so that you can change the mindset that's created what you're in right now. Your happiness is not going to come from a job. Your happiness is not going to come from a relationship.
Right.
Your happiness is not going to come from anything. You got to do the work.
Right.
And the work
is
to go in there and...
I know, and I agree with you. I don't think, like, that job, if I had gotten it, would have made me happy either. Like, the whole setting wasn't beautiful, like, enough anyway. But so basically the reason, but I just wanted to get out of here, you know, this job at least, I thought. At least I'll have a break. But, you're right. So basically it's a very good point. Like, you just pinpointed what I really wanted in my life, which is definitely a relationship, mutual love and joy. And then, you know, all the things that I've been telling myself, that's just so much to the core. And I have been working on it. So I'm kind of working on it. The other day I worked on it, but I can work on it again. And so that's basically the core of the issues of my dissatisfaction at the moment in my life, right? That's
the
interesting.
Core of it is that little girl inside of Anna who needs to be healed. That's what and the first place I would start is with that little girl. What is it that little girl wants? And write it out in your journal. What is the create
right.
a fantasy life? And then be grateful
right.
for the job. Instead of coming to that job thinking, I don't want this job, I hate this job, why don't you go and look at how grateful this job has been. It put food on your table. When you go get a massage, it's the job that paid for it. You telling the universe, I don't like what you gave me. I don't want this job, God. I don't like this job, universe. I hate this. And you telling the universe, everything you have, you don't like. No, it's not a spoiled brat, really. It's just an unhealed little girl who needs to be healed. That's all. She just needs to go in and heal the presence of that little girl who was told whatever it is that she's living. The story we tell ourselves is the story we live. So whatever that story is inside that little girl, that narrative needs to be changed. That's all.
Yeah. Thank you, Janine. I love it.
And, you know, I hear people pay people to clear up blocks. If you're going to pay somebody to coach you through your inner child healing. Nobody outside of you can heal you. Only you can heal you. I just don't understand why we pay to take blocks out of us when the only blocks can be taken out of us is us taking our own blocks. Now, you can coach you through it, but if you're going to pay somebody to help assist you in your inner child healing.
Yeah.
That's the best.
I'm not going to do that. It was like a pendulum healing. It works too, you know, but it wasn't for me, so I'm not going to do it again.
I'm not saying, you know, that people don't have power to do whatever they do. I'm not saying, I don't know nothing about that. But what I do know is that there's nothing outside of ourselves that can help us. Nothing. Only thing outside of ourselves can help us, assist us to move into ourselves. If a person or anybody is going to help you heal, they should take you to your own inner presence. Coach or person you choose to help assist you into taking you to that next level, I think that we all need coaches. But I don't think we need people who can tell us, okay, I'm going to take this block and then your life is going to be, you got to do the work.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's our spiritual path, you know, our healing into, you know, our oneness with God and oneness with everything. That's basically the truth. Yep. I'm there.
Take all my blocks away, and then I don't have to worry about nothing and have to do nothing. Just show up on this line and say, y'all, they cleared my blocks. And I'm just amazing
now. Yeah, I mean, I understand that God can heal instantly, and there are manifestations of that, definitely. You know, God does heal instantly and has. But still, we have to do our inner work. You can't escape that. But I know that some people instantly can heal. There's like Jesus that healed instant. Those people didn't have to like eternally, you know. So that's there too. But I'm not one of those people. I'm not one of those Jesus comes and like puts a light bulb through me and I'm fixed. For me, no. I have to do the work.
So, Anna, we don't know the story up until the point of meeting Jesus, though. We only know the story when they met Jesus. Because if you think about what Jesus said to each person, when he said it was your faith. Jesus never said it was me that healed. It was your faith. So what does that mean? That means the work that you've done up to this point has caused you to be healed.
Oh, okay. Okay, it's the faith.
What Jesus did was coach them into their inner self. We just don't really get the understanding of the Bible because we get, Jesus touched the eyes and they was healed. But when you really look in the words deeper, when the blind man asked Jesus, Jesus coached him into his own self and said, it was your faith. It wasn't my faith. Jesus didn't say, it was my faith that healed you. Jesus just took them into their own consciousness. And Jesus raised their consciousness to see that they can heal themselves and move into their own space by their own faith. It's because of your faith. It's because of your belief.
Yeah. Good one. Good point. Good point. Because the belief is so, so important. That's basically the healing.
Yes. I get it.
It's very, very, it's all really beautiful. It's just the way that we have to see things, you know. It's so beautiful, actually, everything, isn't it? I'm going to be okay, but I just don't, you know, I don't like where I'm at. But I know I can work on it and build something here. And thank you. I appreciate it. Appreciate you very much.
I appreciate you, Anna, being here. And one thing I want you to realize, too, is that I love when Steve Harvey, first thing he said is Albert Einstein said, what? Imagination is everything.
Yes.
Imagination is everything. It's the preview of the coming mm-hmm. attraction of our life. So what I want you to do, you feel very intuitive to me. You feel very creative to me. Of course, I don't know mm-hmm. you know you, but my spirit says you're very creative. So I said, you know, spend some time in the outdoors when you get a chance, and when it get warmer, maybe. I don't know what climate you live in, but when you get the opportunity, and just visualize the life you want for yourself, and let the vision carry you to where you need to be to help you get to the point you want to be in your life. Visualize it.
Right.
And when any mind starts to remind you that you're not this or you second this or that, that's your own mind.
Yeah.
And you stop it right then and remind yourself that you were born for greatness and you were born to live the abundant life.
Yes. Yes, I have to do that. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm going to definitely do that. Thank you.
You're welcome. You have an amazing day, Anna.
Yes, amen. You too.
All right. All right.
My sister.
Good
my
morning.
Sister, my, you know, the reason why I was led to this amazing space called the Love Journey was that example that you had just displayed. You took Anna from a place of utter confusion, shined the light, broke up the fog, and all of a sudden she sees that she is the start as well as the finish of her faith in herself to be able to accomplish the most minute miracle as well as the most magnificent call happiness. That is why I make it a point to come and witness the love. That is the reason I've been shown that the love journey exists for me. And to witness it one more time like that, that was so awesome. And I will always know that this journey that I'm on is a journey of love. Anna is on a journey of love. Mm-hmm. Every one of our family members realizes that we are on that journey of love because we forgot. We forgot who we were and why. And just because it's an hour and a half or maybe sometimes 2 hours, it's just a reminder of the God goddess we are and that we're here to make a difference, not just in others' lives, but in our own lives. And as we make that difference in our own life, the light of our love shines radiantly through the fog, through the mistaken unknowns. We are now on the journey. I love what you do. I love what God do through you. Man, is he using you for a billboard of how he loves us? I love you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I am.
Well, thank you, Amir. I appreciate you. All right. I just want to remind you again that your life is a gift from God, and what you do with your life is a gift back to God. And I want to remind you to choose love. And if I could remind you anything today, it's important that we change the conversation in our heads, in our minds, what we're saying in our bodies, what we're saying to ourselves about our own happiness, about our own love, about our own life. It's that internal landscape conversation. Today I want to tell you, don't just dream your God-sized dream. Live them. The power is in you to live. the powers in you to transform your life. This is Jill Scott. Have a phenomenal weekend, family.